until 8. This is Sports Today.
Welcome to Sports Today for yeslines.com.au, and a man who's playing his 350th game. A magnificent effort is Matthew Pavlich, and he joins us here on Sports Today. Welcome, mate. Well done.
Thank you very much, Carl. Luke, good to have a chat.
How are you, Pav? Luke McFarlane here. Congratulations on the impending milestone. You spent the last 14 years throwing me around like a rag doll at training. Who's copping all of Pav at the moment? Is it young Sam Collins?
Yeah, Sam Collins and Zach Dawson are probably the two that I get matched up on in team training. But Alex Silvani's obviously made his way back over the last couple of weeks, and he's one of those guys, Woosh, not dissimilar to you, that knew no other way than 100 miles an hour of training, which is totally... admirable, but at the same time, when you've done it for so long, sometimes it's nicer to have someone going a little less 100%. But no, it's nice to be out there running around still.
Well, you really went below 90% yourself, Pav. But I was reading an article about you today, and someone had sort of estimated the number of kilometres you would have travelled over your 17 years, and it was somewhere in the vicinity of 800,000, which is extraordinary. Number, I thought it might be interesting, and I know a little bit about it myself, but if you could give an indication of, I guess, how much time you've needed to invest in recovery, in management, particularly being an older player from a WA-based side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as an AFL player, you probably spend, I guess, 35 to 40 hours a week at the football club, and that's where we meet, you know, we review and preview the games. You know, we train, obviously, football train. We're in the weights room. You do recovery. There's physio and massage treatments. But on top of all that, there's additional time spent down the beach, in the pool, ice baths. You know, I do an additional yoga session per week for an hour. The investment's probably almost the same amount of time as we spend at the football club. It's, you know, even at home, just stretching and doing things once the kids have gone to bed. There's so many advancements in sports science and all that kind of stuff, but one of the biggest ones, and why players are starting to play a bit longer, I believe, is, you know, the full-time professionalism and the attitudes and lifestyle choices that players are making to get the best out of themselves day in, day out. So, Luke, you did that for so long as well. You know all about it. It's certainly different from the yesteryear when Carl played.
Oh, mate, yeah, we used to stay over, we could have a beer, there was no such thing as an ice bath, mate, we only used to put that in our drinks. So it has certainly changed, Pav. Now, mate, obviously admired watching you play, and one thing that I've really admired, mate, about you is your trust and respect and loyalty that you've shown to your footy club. Has there ever been a time throughout your life that you've thought, oh, maybe I'm going to just go and try it over the other side of the fence? Because it doesn't seem like that, even though negotiations might have been tough throughout the time.
Yeah, it's relatively topical at the moment, isn't it, with, you know, a few players speaking to various clubs in season. I mean, my baseline foundation view was I was always going to stay at Fremantle, but it's been well publicised in the past that I certainly looked at opportunities, particularly back in Adelaide, but there was one or two opportunities in Melbourne that I had a look at. But at the same time, I always had a strong view that I wanted to be loyal to the football club that gave me the opportunity. I wanted, along with Luke and Aaron Sanderlands and a couple of other players that have been there for a long time, a part of a strong leadership group to drive us towards success. And really, the football club over the past 4 or 5 years, you know, won the second most games to Hawthorn. This year's been disappointing, obviously, but I wanted to be a leader in that. And I wanted to, you know, try to achieve things for the first time at Fremantle, and there was always that view. Like any player and like any person in life, you do explore other opportunities, mainly through your managers, but it was never really fully investigated to the point where I felt like I was ever going to leave.
Mate, what about in 1998 when you nominated for the draft and no one picked you up? What did you think?
Oh, look, I mean, I was 16 at the time. I wasn't even 17. I still had another year of high school to go. So in a lot of ways, I wasn't expecting to be drafted. It was hopeful that one of the two Adelaide Cubs would pick me up in Adelaide and Port, obviously, but they went for two other 17-year-olds that they could at the time, Ken McGregor and Adam Morgan. So, I mean, And in a lot of ways, I can understand why those two players were ahead of me in development. And, you know, there's not an exact science to drafting and identifying talent. You can understand why it's such a hard job and why those people at football clubs are so highly rated.
Now, Pav, you've always been a strong advocate for life balance. You're a married man. You're married to Lauren. You've got a young family, two young kids, a third along the way, I believe. You've got an MBA that you're currently working towards. You've got business interests, sponsorship arrangements. I guess the first question is, how do you manage it all? And secondly, how do you feel this balance in life has contributed perhaps to your longevity in the game?
Yeah, so firstly, it's about compartmentalising your life and being really strong with your time management. And you're right, I've always advocated strongly that being busy and having other interests outside of football is really important. I've never had the view that I'm just a footballer. I've always tried to do things outside of the game that gives me a great life balance, but also, I can say openly that it's helped my football to no end in the fact that I've been able to, switch off, get away from football. It's a highly scrutinised, and a lot of the public, and there's people that comment all the time. So to get away from football and do I did an undergrad at UWA, and as you said, I've almost completed my MBA. Having other business interests and other things to take my mind off the football has only helped and benefited me on the field. So it's really important.
Speaking about on the field, when you started down the back line, did that teach you anything, given that you've played a majority of your career in the forward line?
Yeah, it did. The first 2 years were both played as a key forward and key back, probably 50-50. And then, you're right, my third year was basically at full back and centre-half back. And then, from there on into the midfield and forward. So having that versatility always benefited my game in the way that I was, able to change it up. If things weren't working, I was able to do things in other areas of the ground. But it certainly gave me a real understanding about, firstly, what to do against an individual opponent. But it does give you a view of how important forward pressure and delaying the ball is up the other end of the ground. Because when you're a key defender, as Luke knows, if the ball's coming down with no pressure at all, it's really hard for them. So you have a deal of empathy for what happens at both ends of the ground.
Now, you are a very old man in football years. You're 34. You've got plenty of grey hair there now, Pav. But I wanted to ask...
Thanks, mate.
No worries at all.
For the record, everyone out there, that Luke is about... Let me think. 30 days older than me,
That's true, but I look far younger. Forever. I look far younger than you, Pav. Now,
does he put a rinse through his hair?
You don't move younger than me. Anyway.
He looks like he's put the rinse through his hair, Pav. I'm just looking at him.
I've never put a rinse through my hair.
Nah, Luke. Luke hasn't had to worry about that. He's had to worry about his calves, and I've had to worry about my hair. You're right.
Anyway, let's get back to the interview, Carl.
You started it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Let's get
back. Picked on his grey hair.
I did start it. Now, look, interacting with, this is a bit of an interesting question, but, being the oldest player on the list currently, you do have to interact daily with Gen Ys or millennials, I guess you call them. There's a lot of Tinder, there's a lot of Instagram, there's a lot of tattoos. What's it like trying to interact with a Connor Blakely, a Lockie Weller, and having to work so closely with some of those young guys?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, you get so much enjoyment and enthusiasm out of it because they've got such a total different outlook to you. Their daily lives and their weekends out look a fair bit different to mine and the kids. And you're right, though, there's Pokemon these days that guys are into and all sorts of bits and pieces. But, as much as you can, you find common ground and, At the essence of what we are as people and as footballers is that we're athletes that want to compete and get the best out of ourselves. So you sort of tap into those things. You try as much as you can to stay abreast of all the things that are happening in the world because, and you're right, they're glued to their phones. It's a fair bit different to when we first started.
Yeah, they certainly are. Now, I just another question. You do wear another hat. You are the president of the AFL Players Association.
Yep.
Are you able to shed some light on how negotiations are going with the current CBA?
Yeah, I can. I was actually in Melbourne late last week. As it turned out, I didn't travel to the Gold Coast, but had a meeting with the commission, a couple of commission members, Gil McLaughlin, a few members from the Players Association, including Patrick Dangerfield and Will Minson and Lee Montagne, had a really good discussion. There'd been a number of conversations both ways. The players have put forward what we were sort of after with regard to, you know, percentage of revenue and a few other key items. I think, you know, the meeting last week was really beneficial. I think there was a few things that there was a path forward on the back of that. For whatever reason, things had probably stagnated previously, but it seems as though things are starting to move towards some further discussions there, which is good.
So did you say that you actually had to fly to Melbourne for that meeting, Pav?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So they didn't pick you to fly to the Gold Coast, but you fly to Melbourne, freezing cold. Melbourne would have been nice and warm up there on the Gold Coast, wouldn't it?
I spent literally a few hours in Melbourne to have the meeting. It wasn't something that I took lightly, but I obviously did the training as it was that I needed to and got through that perspective. But it was an important meeting, and we took the opportunity, given that I wasn't playing the game, and that's where the most risk is. I sort of was over and back in the day.
Now, mate, obviously things haven't panned out the way that you or the footy club would have liked this season. There was certainly a lot of hope going in, a lot of bad injuries to a lot of key players, and we've now seen, you know, the team start to evolve with new blokes coming through. But over the journey, mate, the club, when you came to it, going back all those years to the club that you're going to finish up with at the end of this year, how much have things changed?
Oh, polar opposites. You can't, you know, there's just so much change in terms of, you know, we're about to move into a $110 million facility. When I first started the football club, we were working out of the old grandstand that sits at Fremantle Oval, which had basically two rooms. So, you know, you just can't compare leaps and bounds the club has gone forward in. And as I mentioned before, you know, outside of the challenging year that it has been, we'd won the second most games to Hawthorn over the previous four seasons. So it's been disappointing. We've got a lot to work on, but we believe it's an aberration this season. We think we can rebuild very quickly and launch into a big season in 2017 with some key players returning in a really strong pre-season.
Pav, thanks for joining us tonight. Congratulations on your milestone game this weekend and all the best for the remainder of the season.
Appreciate the chat, guys. Thank you.